I'm Hugh.
I'm Linda.
Together we're Hinda.
And this is Hindacast.
So much to get through. 11 couples for a start.
And a second commitment ceremony.
And 3 new weddings.
And a 3rd dinner party.
And a rule change.
And a rule change, yeah.
Yes.
Rule change, and that's for us now and how we mark the couples as such.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, we're going to struggle to keep this at 20 minutes here.
We're going to struggle to keep it at 30 minutes. What we're doing with the rule change is very simple. Instead of marking who says yes or no at final vows, we are just going to say whether we think people will get to next week of the show.
Yeah, so it's literally, yeah, to say yes to the commitment ceremony and get through the following week.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. That's
and
okay.
And we say yes or no, and we're going to exploit the competitive streak between Linda and I, which is quite, quite strong.
But it's not really. Hugh competes with me. I don't feel like I have anything to compete with. Let's get that out in the open from the get-go.
Okay, but the way it's going to work is we each get a point if we get it right.
Yeah.
And at the end of the series, we're going to see who wins.
And can we talk about what I'm going to win?
If you lose, you buy me dinner. And if I lose, I'll buy you dinner.
You buy dinner all the time anyway. Yeah, okay. So I'm okay for that. Yep, cool.
You can't lose, really.
Whatever, yeah. Off you go. I can't lose either way, can I?
Okay, start with the 3 new couples then. Jade and Ridge. Unusual name, Ridge, but there you go. Jade.
And even the contestants thought it was unusual because they were calling them Rich and Mitch and Bridge.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot that, Mitch.
Bridge.
Yeah.
That was funny, actually. Go on, anyway.
They both have heritage as such. Jade was brought up in South Africa, and Ridge is...
Filipino.
From Philippines, yeah. But let's start with Ridge. He is full of himself in the early pieces, and he's quite frankly a pain in the ass.
That really gives us fat boy vibes.
Like, absolutely.
I've never heard fat boy vibes like it. And his two idiotic friends as well. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
And this whole, these.
Oh my God. He
it's
hangs
so
around.
So immature. Like, it's like, give me a break.
He hangs around with ugly guys. That's
to make himself
doing.
Look better.
Yeah. He's one of those.
Yeah.
Right. And we just see all the worst of them, don't we?
We certainly do. And you know what? It's like you're just on the verge of absolutely hating him and saying, I'm not even going to watch him. I'm going to skip over him. And then he redeems himself.
He does. But before all that, we see Jade. And Jade is such a different kettle of fish because she is so mature. She has a home. She has a child. You know, she has a good job. She's a mature person going somewhere. And we're thinking, how the hell are these two ever going to get along?
Yeah, she does seem to have her life together. But when they met up at the wedding, obviously, as it
is. That's why it's called Married at First Sight, Linda.
The initial attraction was very strong.
It was, yeah. They certainly liked the look of each other.
They did. And they got on very, very well, considering there were a couple of little bumps, but you're wondering if that's in the edit as well.
Mm.
Like his speech, certainly for the most part of it, until the very end, was like, it was shockingly bad.
Oh,
it was just so
terrible.
Self-absorbed and self-centred. It was really all about him.
The big thing was, she was thinking, this guy is extremely immature. How on earth am I going to tell him I have a child? Well, she actually, I think, said in the end, do you know what? I'm going to tell him very, very soon. I don't think we've seen a scene where somebody tells the other person they have a child so early.
Yeah, literally over dinner.
Yeah.
I think it was like, you know, just I'm going to face the music now. I'm going to get it over and done with. Could have had a glass of wine in her, whatever the case may be.
She did it really well, though. I loved the way she did it.
Well, she just said it.
Yeah, she just said it, but with a big smile on her face. She didn't take it too serious.
Oh.
Yeah, and we wondered.
How old is she? 7.
Oh. And they kind of gave us a false silence, didn't they? It made it look like they'd didn't talk for about 15 minutes while they were eating their food. But I don't think that happened at all. And then
all of a sudden, it
he
seems.
Just transformed, didn't he? He turned into Prince Charming. And suddenly all this stuff started coming out of his mouth that was so mature and so lovely. And he was talking about his mom and the fact that she had a child out of wedlock, whatever we want to say it, years before.
Yeah, because his dad literally took on the half-sister and raised her as his own. And so he's experienced the dynamics and he's no issue with it. And he's really looking forward to kind of being a father figure to her daughter, Victoria.
Yeah, different guy.
Yeah, I know.
Different guy.
On honeymoon, again, they went on honeymoon and they got intimate very quickly.
Mm.
I'm not entirely surprised. They're both kind of a young, attractive couple.
Yeah.
And they seem to be very attracted to each other. So, not entirely surprised. But, you know, again, dinner party seemed fairly united, seemed to be getting on well. Without even meeting the others, I think they're the strongest couple. But, you know, let them at it.
She just wants to be accepted, though. That's the feeling I get. She really does. And he's accepting her. And that's good for her.
Yeah, very much so. Well, I think still, I think there's a lot more to Jade, yeah. You know, and I'm wondering, is Ridge strong enough to take her on? I think we're only kind of seeing glimpses of Jade at this point in time.
They haven't had any challenges really whatsoever, have they?
Yeah, well, we'll see how they get on.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to say whether we think they're going to be with us this time next week.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
Yes, yes. That's a yes from both of us. I mean, surely to God, they're not going to.
So we're going to award then 1 point if they are together next week.
We'll award ourselves 1 point.
Okay, yeah. If they're together next week, and if one of us, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Wait, you really agree on all of them.
That's fine. It'll be a draw. It can't go on forever.
Right. So who's buying dinner with the draw? You.
We'll have a GoFundMe page, and the listeners can pay for our dinner.
Yeah, we'll send them a Patreon account. That's right. Not going to happen, guys, okay. But whatever.
Michael and Stephen. Michael finally found his match, and he found it in Stephen, a young man who is very good looking.
I think he's very handsome, but the man main, like, seriously, are we not? How many man mains are we going to see in maths this year? My God almighty, like.
I think it's a bit of an Aussie thing. I think the Aussie lads like to grow their hair a lot longer than they do over here.
Was it a year before last we saw that kind of that 80s hairstyle? What was that called?
Oh, the mullet.
Mullet, yeah.
There's and a good
everybody
few of them,
appeared
yeah.
to have a mullet, but this time everybody appears to have a man mane.
It seems to be a thing out in rural Australia, the mullet.
Yeah. I don't know.
Listeners, especially from Australia, can email us. We'd love to get your views. We'd love to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Well,
the
as I said about Jaden, like, I'm not just not into men with long hair, but he is a very, very attractive man.
You did say he was a gorgeous guy, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very attractive man. He's one of eight. He's a twin.
Yeah.
And he had a car accident, so he's quite a few significant scars.
He does,
on his
over
face.
His eyes, around his eyes.
Yeah, very much so. And I'd say that's really impacted on him growing up. But, you know, he seems to be fairly grounded, a little bit insecure, I would say.
Yeah, in comparison with Michael, who seems a rock. You know, he's had difficulties in his own life. His small town America, being a man of colour in America isn't always easy, depending, especially if you're in an area like that. And then, of course, discovering his sexuality, again, something else that was a challenge in his upbringing and that. But he's a strong guy now.
And he's in Australia living the dream.
He is. And he's looking in a country that accepts him. He's fulfilled in that he's fathered two children.
Two biological children. Yeah,
for a same-sex couple that he knows.
Same-sex couple, yeah.
So
he's two biological daughters.
That's the first thing that Stephen finds out.
Well, that was the first challenge.
Challenge, yeah, causes him alarm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, again, I think this was one of those ones in the edit. They kind of made it look like he had a big difficulty with it and he needed to process it and all that. And I think they kind of stretched the timeline a little.
Of course they did.
But he was grand.
No, he was fine. And he actually respected the fact.
Yeah.
And he thought that, you know, that it was a really noble thing that Michael had done in donating sperm so the same-sex couple could have two daughters and then took a step back and allowed them to raise the two daughters as their own.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah, and it seems like it'd be good for them because they both want kids.
They do seem to be both fairly family orientated. They both come from big families. So, yeah kids are important to them.
So the favour might be returned.
Maybe so,
we're jumping the gun a little bit here, but
didn't somebody say something about two potential baby mamas or something like that?
Yeah.
I think somebody said something like that at the table. So what was the other challenge they faced?
The other challenge was, I'm amazed that this was a challenge at all. The other challenge was that Stephen discovered that he wasn't originally meant to be with Michael, or Michael wasn't originally meant to be with him, that Michael was paired with somebody else. Somebody, obviously, that he never met. But still, Stephen took it to heart.
You know, you can't understand it. We discussed this at the time. I kind of can.
Okay.
I kind of say, well, you know, I had my application in there along with that other guy. So why wasn't I chosen? Why was that other guy chosen before me? Was he a more compatible match on paper?
Yeah.
So
have you ever watched the show?
Again, how many homosexual guys applied? You know, because this is the first time there's been a same-sex couple.
It has, but not in terms of applications. I'm sure they've accepted applications for many years.
Well, I don't know whether they've accepted applications. Maybe they did in theory, but if they had so many applications, why haven't they had a match before now?
Well, they just didn't decide to put two men into the show.
So technically, he is second best. Technically.
I look at it the other way around. I look at it in, if you just get a ticket for a match, one thing, But if you're waiting and waiting on a ticket and suddenly somebody says, oh, I can't go, and gives you the ticket out of the blue, you'd feel even luckier.
Or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Maybe it's a bad analogy.
It's probably a bad analogy. But
you know what I mean?
I do understand where you're coming from. I just don't necessarily agree with it.
I mean, but how many of us, look, how many of us are virgins when you get together with the love of your life? It doesn't happen very often. You got to kiss a lot of frogs.
Yeah, I get
You're not usually forced.
But this is like, I mean, a scientific experiment where two people are matched. And you obviously are not the first match.
Who believes in that? Do you believe that?
No. Yeah, no. I know. But that's the premise of the whole show.
The programme has been going for 11 seasons now in Australia. For God's sake, Stephen, have you never watched the show?
Right. Well, look, at moving on. They're together anyway. For whatever reason, they're together. They seem to be attracted to each other.
Totally.
There is chemistry there. They have a lot in common.
Mm.
I think if Stephen can get over his insecurities, I think Michael has a bit of work to do.
Mm.
But if he can kind of, if Stephen can get over his insecurities, I think that they have a very bright and positive future.
Yes.
So do I think they're going to be together next week? Yes.
And I have to go yes.
So it's
as
a
well.
Yes and a yes.
Yeah. Yes and yes.
Now, our third intruder couple. This is fun. We have Madeline and Ash.
Mash. Well, I said Mash, and then within minutes, the rest
I will
of
give
the
you
people.
The credit for that.
Yes,
yeah, you came up with Mash before anybody else said it. Yeah.
Okay.
So Mads is as mad as a March hare.
She is. She is a medium, although somebody needs to explain to Lauren what the hell a medium is.
That was funny. And she thought it was a medium. And she's, no, she's at least an extra small or something like that. That was actually funny. Yeah, that was funny. And it was really typical Lauren, wasn't it? Kind of dumb blonde kind of thing. Yeah, so she's a bit of a I see dead people sort of person. But she does.
Yes.
And she doesn't only see them, she talks to them.
I know.
Regularly.
In the middle of dinner.
Yeah. And they give her these kind of psychic downloads. Is that what they call them?
No. Then we learn about Ash. And Ash is so different. It's quite unbelievable. Ash is, even just to look at him, he's a quiet guy. He's a timid guy.
He's boring.
He's rabbit cotton headlights. I wouldn't quite say he's boring, but he's rabbit cotton headlights.
No idea what's going on. Absolutely not a clue. He keeps looking around, and I'm pretty sure he's looking around for hidden cameras, thinking he's on candid camera.
Yeah, it's like he's wandered into the wrong show.
Yeah, it's like he's if he thinks somebody's playing a joke on him.
All the time.
All the time. Constantly. The time. Yeah. I feel sorry for the guy. He literally doesn't have a clue what's going on or how to deal with this woman.
I can't wait to see them on the couch.
Yeah,
I really can't wait to see their commitment ceremony.
Well, Madeline has already said that she's like, you know, madly in love with him. But she's also madly in love with the cows.
She kind of says madly in love very, very easily.
It's, I love you madly. I love you deeply.
Yeah.
I love you beyond.
Very
she strange. Even said that at the wedding ceremony that she loved them. So
he's Mr. Puzzles.
I never trust people like that who'd say, you know, oh, I love you like really early on because it's just said so flippantly.
Fake as fuck.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But she, I don't know. I'm kind of rabbit caught in the headlights. I don't even know what's going on with her.
It's hard to say. They could jump on each other and be banging for a week for all we know. You just wouldn't know.
Well, at this point in time, there is absolutely no connection with them.
No, not at all. Even when they walk in the dinner party and even when they were walking around the cows, she was miles from him. They were no more holding hands or anything like that than the man in the moon. She was walking about 10 feet away from him, in front of him both times, if you remember. They walked into the dinner party virtually as strangers. He was over one end, she was over the other. They didn't look back at one another, nothing.
I think, you know, Madeline has different personalities going on there and they're all trying to vie for some spotlight.
Yeah.
She just changes too quickly, you know, too quickly. One minute she's crying, the next minute she's laughing, next minute she's shouting, next minute she's not a word out of her. It's just, she just changes. That's not normal. Sorry, Hugh.
Mm.
You know, that's too, it's too odd. It's just too odd. But do I think they'll be here next week? Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I'd have to say the same thing.
So we're all yeses so far.
One last thing. No man should ever wear a baseball cap backwards.
I agree. He just looked like a Wish version of Eminem or something like that when he was walking through the cow fields.
Okay, we spent longest talking about them so far.
There's a lot of material. Let's face it.
No, there's a whole show right there. There's not much to say about Eden and Jaden once again.
I think the most extraordinary thing or the most exciting thing that happened with those two was when we saw their matching pink outfits. Coming to the dinner party.
And they're madly, deeply in love. That's what they said on the couch.
He said he's head over heels, didn't he?
Yeah, same thing, really. Yeah,
same thing. Yeah, there really isn't. There's nothing exciting happened. I just noticed at the dinner party, Jaden literally watched everything and said nothing. He took it all in.
Yeah.
You know, Eden got slightly involved. I think she made one or two comments on the trouble that happened at the dinner party that we'll discuss later, but she didn't really get too involved.
I think it's the effect overall of this week. This week is an unusual week. week in that they've been kind of left alone. It's kind of midterm. We're midway through the show. And what they haven't given them any big challenges. They've sent them off to watch the weddings. I presume the filming has been quite light. The couples have been allowed kind of get on with each other. And there has been an improvement overall in most of the relationships, strangely enough.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. Can we say at this point, and remind you at this point, when you were talking about the show, to mention the podcast to your
friends? Absolutely, yeah.
Please do. The best way people find out about the podcast, and how we constantly hear people find out about the podcast, is to their friends when they're talking about Married at First Sight. So mention Hindacast to your friends, please.
100%. Anyway, moving on. Andrea and Richard.
Andrea and Richard just go from strength to strength. They are the elder couple, but it feels like they have been together for the longest possible time.
Oh, hang on for a second. We need to address the sucking and fucking.
God.
What in the name of God? Richard, like, oh, wow. I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, he just wanted to put it out there. I reckon they're having...
He certainly did put it out there.
I reckon they're having more sex than the whole lot of them put together.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. I think it'll take a lot to rock those two.
Yeah, it will. They've been off at the weddings and they've been enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
They're sitting back and they're kind of like... that old couple have been together for ages and they can offer advice.
Yeah, it's not their first rodeo. They've been around the block.
No, and good luck to them.
Yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah.
But there isn't really much to say about them this week. Maybe that'll change next week. Yeah. We'll see.
We should say about Aidan and Jake. Did we say that we'd reckon they'd be in next week?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely did. Yeah, well, no, we didn't, but they will
should
be.
We say that?
Yes,
yeah.
And yes. Okay,
yeah. I think
Andrew
yes
and Richard, yes and yes.
I don't think you're voting for me now, Linda.
Don't I do everything else for you?
Enough. Ellie and Ben.
Again, they had a good week. They gave Ben a little bit of a hard time. They certainly addressed the issues around that whole mocking her and saying that he wasn't her match and all of that kind of stuff. I'm going to stay true to form with Ben and say, like, he's just picture no sound. Like, what's coming out of his mouth doesn't seem to match his body language.
No, he's saying yes, but he's shaking his head and looking very, very unsure. Rinse and repeat. It was so like the previous commitment ceremony. We were nearly struggling at one point, and we had to check our notes to make sure we didn't cover the episode by mistake or something.
The other thing that kind of concerned me about those two was, and kind of showed a sign of Ellie's desperation, is she was telling the
experts
about what happened with the mocking and, you know, saying there wasn't a match, and she was upset and all, and she was clutching his hand the whole time. You know, she was just, I don't know. He just doesn't even seem to have a personality at all. He just doesn't have a personality. And she's very, very needy.
Again, the actions weren't matching the words.
Yeah.
Once again, they're both similar in that regard, if nothing else. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say no.
Okay. 1 point to me and zero to you. Ellie and Ben, I think they'll be in again next week. Yeah, I do.
Lucinda and Timothy. I think this is a false piece, to be honest with you, because he's keeping his mouth shut. And that was evident at the dinner party. He could have waded in and talked about Jack and what he said at Alessandra's workshop, but he chose to keep his mouth shut. At the same time, what was this phrase? She said she was holding a watching brief. That's what Lucinda said. So I think they've chosen to just stay under the radar, the both of them, and maybe see how they get on.
So Timothy was given a hard time on the couch last week at the commitment ceremony. There's no doubt about that. Okay. He was given a hard time about what he was saying about Tori and Jack. And he was also given a hard time about his relationship with Lucinda. Lucinda was very vocal in saying that she felt humiliated, she felt degraded, that she didn't want to be on this journey with somebody who was, you know, had such a negative view of the world and other people. So she was very clear. I would like to think that he listened to that and he's trying to do as she suggested and as the expert suggested and, you know, hold his wrist.
Okay.
That's, you know, keep his tinder dry. A lot probably went on behind the scenes with those two that we didn't see. But I think we'll see that at the commitment ceremony.
Yeah, we do have to remember that. The three weddings means that we've seen very little of the couples other than the previous
I think Lucinda
ceremony.
Will stay true to her word. I think she was actually, again, giving him the benefit of the doubt, but at the same time saying, no, this time we're going to make a decision.
Okay.
Well, I think she'll stay true to her word and she'll stay true to herself. So right. Are you giving him a yes or a no?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes. And I'm going to say yes too. I am going to say yes. We didn't discuss that whole conversation that he had with Tristan though. That was odd, wasn't it? Himself and Tristan seem to have a very good relationship.
Yeah, and we saw a nicer side of Timothy. I mean, he can't all be one-sided. And we also got the bit about his dad and what his dad said to him.
But look, there must have been something that went like massively wrong for a father to say that to his son, his last words on his deathbed.
Three sides to every story.
Yeah, his side.
Dad's side and the truth.
Truth, exactly, yeah. Cassandra and Tristan.
Now, the cracks are really starting to show. Now, we have been saying it for a long time. This can't go on. Strangely, for poor old Tristan, he was very frustrated because he's saying, I can't do any more. But then again, he's just doing the wrong stuff.
I believe he can't do any more. I don't think he is actually capable of giving more than he has given. He needs expert help and not the John kind of expert help saying they should have shared moments and, yeah, you know, routine or whatever the hell he was getting at there. I don't think that Tristan is capable of entering into a physical relationship at this point. There are huge, major issues in his life that needs to be addressed before he can move on in any way, shape or form with Cassandra. And I would hate them to enter into an intimate relationship because I think it would really badly harm both of them.
Yes, I agree with all of that. But the point I was making was that, yes, he's making a huge effort, but in all the wrong ways, in that he's making a huge effort which would kindle a friendship, but he's not making the efforts to kindle a relationship. That's all.
He doesn't know how.
No, that's all.
He's not capable of it.
No, I don't even know he doesn't know how. I just think it's just not in him.
You're right. It isn't in him. Like, they had a big blow up at the wedding. Poor Sandra was distraught. Tristan was distraught as well.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You know, he really has. My God, what else do you want from me? I'm giving it my all. I hope they make it. Do you think they're going to say yes? Or are we going to see them next week or whatever?
I'm going to say no. Somebody has to go in this. There's far too many couples.
Yeah.
I imagine about three couples will go. So I'm going to put them down as going.
I'm going to say yes. I just can't see it yet. Again, I don't think they'll make the commitment ceremony, but I just can't see them going just yet.
I'm just going to play a little bit more aggressively than you.
Okay, we'll see how that goes for you.
I know.
Sarah and Tim, or Sarah.
Sarah and Tim.
As Tim calls her. He didn't call her that when they were rowing on the couch, though, did he? He was calling her Sarah when they were rowing on the couch. And then throughout the week, when they appeared to be getting on well, it was back to Sarah.
Oh, we forgot one bit. We forgot about Cassandra and Tim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's something going on there.
Yes.
I think that's probably a reason why Cassandra will stay in.
Heck yeah, I forgot
There's
about that.
There's some interaction with herself and Tim. Certainly at the commitment ceremony, she was, you know, absolutely backing Tim.
Yeah, we thought it was just for the sake of being unbiased and not being a boy or not being a girl, just the sake of, you know, the actual, how would you say, the cause itself about the dinner party when she was getting involved. But when she was getting involved at the commitment ceremony earlier on in the week, to me, it was much more obvious that she had an affection for Tim.
Yeah. And I really found myself watching them at the interaction, the last dinner party, to see when they said hello, would they linger, I really did find myself watching. There's really nothing we're basing it on except a feeling.
Yes.
It's just, something going on there.
It's standing
I think
out
they'd
there
be very
bit.
Well matched.
And we think Sarah and Jack will be very well matched.
We think Sarah and Jack will be very well. Now, I know Sarah has been bitching about Jack and giving out hell about him. But, you know, again, I wouldn't believe all that either.
Girls often do that about boys they fancy.
I think there would be. Well, boys do it about girls they fancy as well.
Yes.
I think that there would be massive chemistry with Sarah and Jack.
Oh, yes.
I just think.
He'd love trying to tame her,
would
wouldn't
definitely
he?
Challenge him.
Oh, yes.
And he would relish that challenge.
Oh, yeah. No better man.
Yeah, well, watch this space.
Okay, back to Sarah and Jack. They had a really good week, if you're to believe what they're saying. All smiles, all loved up. I can't see how after the previous week. I'm not buying it.
They probably had a great week because they spent no time together at all.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I can come up with. There couldn't have been such a massive change because certainly, you know, at the commitment ceremony, she didn't even seem to like him.
I imagine Sarah's around at the girls and they're all hanging out together. And I imagine the Tim fella might be just bumping into Cassandra. And Shapur El Tristan wouldn't even notice if she wasn't there. He reminds me, actually, for anybody who likes Father Ted, Tristan is a bit like Dougal. He really is.
I know anybody who hasn't watched Father Ted, I'd highly recommend that you watch a couple of episodes. Very, very funny.
Yes. Ireland is not really like that, but, you know.
That's right. It is kind of. No, it's very, very funny.
Yeah. In a minor way.
But look, what do you think about these two this week? Are we, you going yes or no?
Sarah and Tim. No, I think they'll stay. I think they'll stay as well.
I think poor Tim, like, again, he's so naive. He probably does think that he can make it with Sarah. And I think he believes that she is changing.
Yeah.
And if Sarah does have some little bit of a grow on her for Jack.
Well, that's true.
She'll stay in and explore it. Yeah. So yes and yes.
Yes.
That's assuming that this next couple, Tori and Jack, actually stay in.
Wow. Well, it's almost impossible to be doing them without bringing in Lauren and Jono, but we'll try and do them separately as much as we can. They're still not intimate. What do you think about that?
I think it's a whole pile of crap.
Yeah.
I think it's fake AF.
Hmm.
There's poor Tori. Again, she is still absolutely and utterly oblivious to what is actually going on here.
Yeah.
She can't see it. I don't know what sort of control Jack has on her, but she just can't see it.
But he gaslights her and she's just so oblivious to the whole thing, the way he's just completely not bothered, and he's just toying oblivious with her, and he's enjoying the fact that he can say whatever he likes. I mean, that was so evident at the dinner party as well. When he made just an turn around idiot and say, well, so that's a joke that we have the whole times, no big deal, don't we, Tori? Yes, yes, Jack.
Yeah, it was. Come just, on. Yeah, it was absolutely cringy. And that cringy poem that he wrote her as well.
Oh my God.
Again, it's just, you know, on when they were sitting on the couch and everything, she was practically crawling onto his lap for the whole thing. Like, she was, you know, wrapped around his arm. And, you know, it was just the only time that I think he touched her as such was when they were sitting on the couch and he was rubbing her arm. He had his arm around her and he was rubbing her arm. It was all just so fake. And then she was like, oh, good handwriting. You know, it was really.
Calm to her storm.
He's calm to her storm. Give me a break.
In other words, you know. You're the hysterical woman, you know.
Then at the dinner party, all hell broke loose when Lauren confronted him about what he had apparently said to Jono.
Yeah.
About, you know, when it comes to the wife swap, partner swap week, if I haven't slept with Tori, you know, whoever
anybody
gets
else
her,
can
sleep with her because, doesn't you know, I don't want to.
Doesn't matter me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, she's gagging for, so just give it to her.
Nasty.
Anybody can give it to her because it's not going to be me.
Nasty, wasn't it?
It's like, yeah, it might get her off me. You know, might get her off my back kind of thing, looking for sex off me all the time.
And then the classic, muzzle your woman.
Muzzle your woman. Muzzle your woman. Seriously.
Yeah.
That was just, he's such a.
Oh, he's a nasty piece of work, isn't he?
He's really, really nasty.
And he seemed to actually get away with that in the end.
He's a gaslighter. He did seem to get away with it.
Well, Tori let him away with it pretty much. Well, he shouldn't have said it. It wasn't a nice phrase, but she's given him another chance.
Yeah. Sarah tried to get involved and said, you know, don't take that from him and that's not acceptable and whatever. Lauren, I think Lauren was, you know, left out at sea. I don't think anybody supports her, including her better half.
Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Let's finish up maybe on Tori and Jack for now. What about that?
Sad situation.
Yes, I'm saying. I think they'll be in it next week. I can't see them going out. I don't think the producers will want to lose them.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes as well. So it's another yes and yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren and Jono, the other part of this storm that happened over the dinner party.
Very deep cracks between them. Jono initially said he would support Lauren. Jono initially, to some extent, did support Lauren. And then Jono just left her high and fucking
Jack
dry.
Jack gave him an ultimatum. Do you support your wife or do you support me? And he supported Jack. What hold does Jack have over him?
Fucking idiot.
It was like, you know, I did actually credit Jono with more intelligence than that. Lauren is right. She can't depend on him.
But also, yeah, he's no fire and he's no passion about him.
But he doesn't.
And
it's
he
obvious.
Doesn't. And we saw it, in fairness, we saw it there in that interaction when you were just willing him on. And he was just so tepid.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was
he
just
was
nothing.
Awful.
He was on the fence the whole time.
Oh.
And then when he did eventually get his ass off the fence, he sided with Jack. Last week, the experts made out that Lauren made Jono feel like shit. And yes, she did.
Mm.
But this week, Jono got his own back in spades.
Without even intending it. He didn't. It wasn't like he was angry with her. And he said, oh, fuck you. You've never supported me and I'll get my own back. She's right. He has no passion.
No. And he's just eating his meal through all of this.
But you see, I've been saying this for a few weeks now. There is deep-seated issues between them two. You have to admit that now, Linda.
I think Lauren is absolutely trying. I do. I think she recognises that.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, you were giving them 4 out of 5. Hold on, 2 weeks running now. You're giving them 4 out of 5. I know we're changing the system, but even so.
Yeah,
you were giving them 4 out of 5. Do you not feel that was a mistake?
No. No, because I felt that Lauren was giving it 100%. She really was being open and honest and telling him what she wanted. And I suppose my mistake was that I gave Jonah too much credit. I thought he had more emotional intelligence. I thought that he would listen to what Lauren was telling him. Mm. And I thought he wanted it enough to make subtle changes every week.
Okay. In retrospect, do you not think it was a mistake?
No, because I didn't have the information then that I have now. Okay. I made the decision with the information that I had at the time.
Jaden.
Well, look at, call it what you want, but it's true. Look, at hindsight's marvellous, isn't it? 2020 vision with hindsight.
Yeah, I know, but you just have to look at what you're seeing and try and work out what's going on underneath as best you can.
I don't think...
That's what we're here for.
I think Jono, again, is completely oblivious to how hurt Lauren actually is over this, how much he embarrassed her and humiliated her.
We're going to find out at the commitment ceremony now, the next episode.
Yeah, so what do you think? Are they going to be here next week?
No.
No. I'm going to say no as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a biggie for me. But, you know, I think if I was Lauren, that's something, that's a red flag. That's something I couldn't get over.
So according to you, only one couple goes.
Yeah. Now, I know there's 11 couples in it and somebody else has to go. But at this point in time, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say who.
Bear in mind, folks, we are talking about the upcoming commitment ceremony and the next few episodes of the week.
Yeah, this is all Hugh's idea, by the way. So it'd be interesting to see how this works out, guys. Okay.
I don't think I'll be best at it. I know you'll win. I just know that.
There you go.
I usually buy dinner anyway.
Maybe the audience can. There you go. So I've nothing to lose.
Okay.
So I'm going to know and you're going to know.
Right. Well, shall we bid our listeners adieu?
I think we should. We've run way over time. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. But I think you'll agree. We had a lot to dive into. It was a lot to take apart.
We did. So as usual, guys, keep watching Maths. Keep telling your friends about the podcast. And we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Laters.
Bye for now.
Before you go, just a quick request. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. And if you can, pop on a notification. That way you'll know when our podcast drops. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email us on indicastreality@gmail.com. indicastreality@gmail.com.